Rick Morris and Ryan Isley are your dignitaries here in the house tonight, and I'm just struck by the notion that, again, sometimes you get to do something in life that is great fun and a lot of, a true pleasure to get to do, and you don't necessarily envision at the time getting to reprise it, and that does subsequently sometimes turn out to be the case. On episode number 58 of the FDH Lounge, May 20th, we had on an author who has a tremendous hardcover book that came out this year, Priceless Memories. What an excellent memoir it is about a long and illustrious career in the television business and everything that he's gotten to experience. He's coming back on tonight because he had the experience on Monday night of being the latest in a series of celebrity guest hosts on Raw and getting to be the TV figurehead for a night. It was done in very entertaining fashion, working in so many adaptations from the show, which he made famous over the decades. I speak, of course, of The Price is Right. I speak, of course, of the one and only, the legend, Bob Barker. I get to say yet again, Bob Barker, come on down to the FDH Lounge. A pleasure to have you back, sir. How are you tonight?
Rick, it's a pleasure to be back, and thank you for that wonderful introduction.
Well, thank you, sir. It's good to have you back on. I watched Monday night. I was greatly entertained, and it was kind of funny. I was talking to your associate, Henry, last night off air, and just learning a little bit about what your experience was like on Monday night, and he told me about how far back you really go with the wrestling business, even to the point of Gorgeous George, who I think many could say is almost one of the founding fathers of sports entertainment as we know it.
That's right. After when I came out of the Navy, after World War II, and went back to college, for a while I ran the concessions at the Shrine Mosque in Springfield, Missouri, on wrestling night. They had wrestling there once a week. And we had some of the old-timers, Speedy Lorenz, Sergeant Keniston, and Gorgeous George came through there, and he was on the way up. He had not become the big star that he was to become, but he still had a great act, made his entrance with that effeminate robe on, had the man go in with the atomizer and spray the ring before he'd set foot in it, and he put on a show that was just terrific. The audience was screaming. It was a great experience seeing.
And he really was one of the guys who made that transition from when wrestling was basically on the carnival circuit and it was much more of a straightforward pursuit. He really was kind of a historical bridge to what we see now and the massive spectacle that it's become. And seeing that at its roots, as you did, you know, the beginning of that evolution to right now, the Monday night, the culmination of what it's become, and working in The Price is Raw on Monday night there and having that kind of fun with it. That must have just been such an experience with you, much like probably parallel to some of the things in Priceless Memories, where you've seen the way that television has evolved over time and some of the different things that happened in the course of your career. You've seen this business that you've watched from afar probably most of the time. You get to see it Monday night and how it's grown into this modern marvel.
Absolutely. I did see Gorgeous George at that time do a completely new and different thing. He was in the vanguard. He was the first of these wrestlers to have an act. Before that, it had been pretty straight wrestling, but he made it a show. He really did, all on his own. It became a show the moment he entered the arena. And now, that experience for me, I went to Chicago to do it, mm-hmm. And I tell you, Vince McMahon, he is one very bright, very sensitive promoter and producer. He was right in the middle of everything, and he's put together a group of young people, and they are real pros. I don't mean the wrestlers now. I'm talking about his staff and his technicians. And those wrestlers, each of them has a personality, and he plays on that. He has his own music. For example, on a couple of occasions, I talked first with the wrestler who was already in the ring. Mm-hmm. And then I would say, and now, believe it or not, your opponent is, and I wouldn't say his name, and he wouldn't come out. The music for him would come on, and they'd start screaming. They were either for him or against him, and then he'd come on. They know him so well that they're identified by their theme songs. But yeah, it's a production. You just have to be right in the middle of it to really appreciate it.
And on that note, Bob, what was the one thing that may have surprised you most going into doing Raw that you didn't think about beforehand after seeing the entire production take place?
Well, when I went into it, the show was formatted, and of course I started it playing a pricing game. The things that developed during the show gave me an opportunity to do the same thing that I did when I was doing the television Price is Right. The wrestlers gave me an opportunity to have real fun. There's a great young fella. His name is Chris Jericho, mm-hmm. and he was one of the contestants in the pricing game. And he came in there looking positively sinister, and he went down to contestant's row, and he won his way out of contestant's row. And instead of going toward the ring and do this wrestling, he had to wrestle then for another prize. He came up on stage and just approached me, you know, and came right up, I mean, in my face. And he said, "You're not treating me with respect." And I said, "I'm respectfully asking you to get back down there in contestant's row." But then I said, "Now listen," I said, "your mother is not going to be proud of the way you're behaving now." And then I turned to the audience after he said something else. I said, "He is being a naughty boy, isn't he? Isn't he?" And they loved that. And then I said, "I'm afraid now, Chris, that if you don't get down there and behave yourself, I'm going to have to take you over my knee." And he finally got down there. And after he came back to me backstage, he said, "Man," and he was straight-faced and sinister, as I said. And he said, when you pull that line that you were going to take me over your knee and spank me, he said, "I could hardly keep from smiling myself." He said, I really had to try to had work on being tough. But things like that happened throughout the whole evening. Things, ad-lib situations in which you could really have fun. And that's what we did on Price for 35 years. And I loved it. I loved every minute of it.
Well, it was clear, Bob. We could all see how much fun you were having on Monday night. That just really kind of shone through the screen, and we could all pick up on that. I couldn't help but be struck at one point in time watching this here when you did your skit backstage with DX, looking at Shawn Michaels and Triple H. Again, the way that they've evolved over the years. Now, I mean, the whole company essentially is basically a PG direction, you know, family friendly. Their humor is a little naughty, but not necessarily so much. I'm struck by how they started out when it really was a play on the name Degenerate in Degeneration X, and a lot of the stuff they were doing at the time, and it could not be called family friendly at that point in time. My guess, from having talked to you previously, from having read your book, is that your comfort level is probably where the company's at right now. Is it not, as opposed to when it was? Because we're talking about stuff much edgier even than Happy Gilmore.
Well, I think that he has really struck a responsive nerve when he has made it a family affair. That arena seated 12,000 people, and they actually turned people away. But there were little kids there, and a lot of teenagers and young people, and they loved it. They loved it, and I loved it right along with them. It was great fun. I think that these young men, these wrestlers, they don't even call them wrestlers anymore. They call them performers, mm-hmm. and the men are superstars, and the ladies are divas, and they they don't call them they call them a match occasionally, but that it's a performance. And these young people are splendid athletes. They do things in the old days when I was first seeing wrestling. They were more straight wrestlers, but these guys they're on the top rope. I mean, they'll go into the air off the rope and do spins in the air, and they're athletes. They really are, and they keep themselves in splendid shape.
Oh, they really are. They get sold short, unfortunately, I think, because of the business that they're in. They're tremendously gifted athletically. I love to watch them along with a lot of other people. I'm entertained by it. It's kind of funny because this is something that I had learned in the course of researching and preparing for tonight, and I don't even know what your specific memories of this are, or maybe you do remember this, but there was actually a fairly prominent pro wrestler of the day who was once on The Price is Right, who came out of the crowd and made it as far as the Showcase Showdown, Ox Baker, back in the day, master of the heart punch. Do you have any particular memories about Ox and his handlebar mustache making the appearance on your show?
I remember that he came on, but I don't remember the particulars. No,
okay.
But they're tough. Some of them are out there, of course, the villains and the heroes. They're such strutting and so on. But backstage, they are the nicest guys, really, and quite gentle, very gentle. They're fine fellows, and that entire staff, they travel in huge trucks. I don't know how many they have, like 8 or 10. And the sides are beautiful artwork of the wrestlers. And I told Vince, I said, those trucks are traveling billboards. He said, Bob, that's exactly the way we planned it. He said, that's what they are, the traveling billboards. And when they hit the town, everybody knows they're in town.
Yeah. It's quite an amazing scene when they're rolling through, and it really is something. And my guess is it probably took even more for them to set up Monday night than usual because of the spectacle of working in the whole Price is Raw theme and everything like that. They did such a job of mixing in all of the other production elements of it to suggest your previous TV work. And I thought it was done in a very entertaining fashion, but I can't even imagine what kind of work it must have taken. It does make me wonder, however, and particularly with the footage that was shown when you did the sit-down interview with Josh Matthews, there had to be some kind of permission coming from The Price is Right for all of this, correct?
Absolutely. And you're so right in that there was a lot of work on putting all of that together. They had props that very, very much resembled The Price is Right props, the contestants' row and all. And it was expensive, too, to build all of that. And they did. And I'm happy to say that Fremantle Media, the company that owns Price, gave them the permission to use the theme music and do the whole thing on Price. And it was very kind of them, and I was very pleased that they did it. And they did it they asked me, how does this look? Does this look like the show? They wanted it to be right, and it was right.
It was. I really thought they nailed it. They did a tremendous job on it.
And they plugged that book like you can't believe, didn't they?
Oh, absolutely.
The way through the show, it was priceless memories, this. And they set it up so I could do the thing that I really wanted to do, and I'll do it right now.
Sure.
And that is, I've been pushing this book, but I'm not doing it selfishly. Any money that we make from the book goes to the DJ&T Foundation, which subsidizes spay-neuters for dogs all over the country.
Mm-hmm. And I want to ask you more about the book. I did want to do that. I have one final question about Monday night before I ask you a few things about the book, Bob, and that being, I read this yesterday, and it just was an interesting notion to me in terms of the internet age, where we're at, technology, and the fascination with pop culture. I don't know if you were even aware of this or not, but on Monday night, your name was trending as one of the top topics on Twitter. There were more people
I'm computer illiterate, and I intend to die that way. But I was told that, and I was told that the fight scene that where I fought with that fellow backstage, that was on with what was his name? I can't think of it for the moment. But in any event, that was all over the network. It was. It's a different world. I realize that. It's wonderful.
Oh, it is. It is. But people jump to some unfortunate conclusions because we've had this very unfortunate season, Bob, if you want to call it that. Michael Jackson, Walter Cronkite, Farrah Fawcett, whatever. Your name was popping up all over the internet Monday night, especially on Twitter. Bob Barker, and a lot of people just jumped to conclusions here. Oh, my God, not Bob Barker, too, not after everybody else. I mean, it just struck me. People will jump to conclusions at the drop of a hat, you know? It's amazing, the world we live in.
Well, I'm happy that was not the case. It was just the opposite. I was having a wonderful time.
Oh, you were. You were. And you know, those of us who know the wrestling business know why your name was popping up on there. As a matter of fact, speaking of the wrestling business, the last time that you were on with us, we had another wrestling legend on, J.J. Dillon. Tonight we've got one of the fabulous Valiant Brothers following you here tonight. So we have a strong wrestling footprint on this show. But about your book, I had a lot of fun discussing it with you the previous time here, and I want to make sure that, again, our audience has enough of a sense of the book. Of course, we talked about previously how many decades it covers, you know, not just the life with Price is Right, but your previous TV work, the approach that you took with the book. Again, I think it's a very classy type of book as far as how you approach stuff, how you, the respectful tone you take with people. I'm curious how the last couple of months have gone. You were on here in May, and the book tour was going then. What has life been like moving the book between May and now in September?
Well, the book, the only promotion that the book really had was that I went to New York and was on some shows there and did a book signing, and then I came back to the West Coast and did The Price is Right on television and did a book signing here, and those are the only two book signings I've did. Well, I went out to the book fair at UCLA, but the show, the book has not been promoted very much, but it went, it got on the New York Times bestseller list pretty much on its own. And then it began to fade, and now I'm told that it's selling pretty well again, and largely because of this, just overnight. It's been, some bookstores are without the book, but they're getting more in as a result of this wrestling show. It's really amazing what has happened.
That is incredible, and I'm sure that Vince McMahon and his people are going to find that very comforting, that they were able to help move some books, because that'll help them line up some big names in the future if people see that there's a good reason to go on there and do that. With this having been the case, are you now sitting down with your brain trust, Bob, and maybe looking at other type things here, saying, hey, this worked on Monday night here, the book is still new. Have you had a chance to maybe see if there might be some other opportunities along those lines to get the word out?
Well, they've all come to me. They very little has been done, even by the publisher. McMahon Vince had watched Truth or Consequences, which was my first show, and as a kid, and he had grown up, and he'd watched Price is Right, and he knew I liked to have fun, and he thought I'd be right for this thing. That's why I got. My publicist or no one from the publishing house got me on the show. Vince called, and he wanted me to be on the show. And that's the way most of the things that I've done in the way of promotion have come about. But the book has been very successful. As I said, it made the bestseller list, but it could have been much more successful if it had more promotion, I think.
I would get the sense that, you know, as these things inevitably move towards soft cover here at some point, and inevitably there ends up being an update or two, certainly when and if that's the case, I would think Monday night would merit a place in there, would it not?
You think Monday night would what?
Would merit a place in a paperback, a subsequent edition? When this thing gets ready for paperback, I'm sure your experience Monday night would probably get a mention in there, would it not?
I think that Well, the paperback, the one I did, I think, is going to be in paperback. But this is one of the biggest thing for moving the book was the appearance on The Price is Right. When I went back to that show, that it jumped, and now they say it looks like this wrestling show is going to do the same thing for the book. And the wrestling show, I had no idea what their audience was until I really got in and started hearing about it.
I mean, it sounds like an incredible experience for you. I'm so glad that it's doing that, not just because, again, because you deserve to have this thing be a success because it's a great product, and I can vouch for it having read it, but it's for a good cause. Again, this book summing up your illustrious career, not just in TV, but prior to that in radio. Please underline again, Bob, as you did the previous time for the benefit of everybody, again, the cause that this is going for, again.
The proceeds from the book are going to the DJ&T Foundation. It's named in memory of my wife, Dorothy Jo, and my mother. Her name was Matilda, but everyone called her Tilly. So I named it the DJ&T Foundation, and it subsidizes spay-neuters for dogs all over the country whose owners are unable to pay for the surgery themselves.
Well, that's a very worthwhile cause. To be sure, and I know that, again, people can take some knowledge in that as far as it going to a good cause. They get to enjoy the book, and they get to also know that they're helping out in this regard also. Again, it was a pleasure to have had you on the previous time, Bob. It was a pleasure to have you on tonight. We're so happy about the success of the book, the renewed bounce that it seems to have gotten after Monday night. A true pleasure. And Bob, we'd love at any point in time to try to help you sell some more books. Love to have you back on sometime, sir. But a pleasure once again.
Book or no book, Rick, you just give me a call and I'll be back. I've enjoyed both my visits with you, and I can't leave you without urging your listeners to help control the pet population, have your pets spayed or neutered.
That's going in a promo, Bob. And I tell you, in all seriousness, I mean, you have no idea what it means to us and everything like that. A true pleasure. And again, you just one of the greatest personalities of all time. And we love you. And we'll be glad to get you back on. Thank you so much, Bob.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I wish you and all of your associates the very best.
Thank you very much. The one and only Bob Barker, everybody. What a true pleasure. And not enough people in the history of broadcasting have gotten to say that, have gotten to introduce the guy or talk to him or whatever. And we'll be going to a break here in a second here. We're going to have Johnny Valiant coming up on the other side. I can't, but before we do that, I just have to pick the brain here of Ryan also. Glad that you had a question for him that you wanted to get answered and everything like that. What was that like for you to get to talk to Bob Barker?
That was probably one of the best radio experiences I've had. To be able to, any kid in America has grown up watching The Price is Right and dreaming of being on the show. And to talk to Bob Barker is one of the most fantastic things you could ever do.
Yeah, that's, you know what? And on your first night with us, Ryan, more stuff like that coming your way, man. It's all going to be strawberries and cream, as they say at Wimbledon.